Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it. Allen tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for the final countdown. It's the last show before the NFL draft, which happens later today. And my guest, who of course is a frequent guest here on the show, is going to be down at Jets headquarters at Florham Park at their war room. And we are going to have a report. Glenn Naughton from Jet Nation will join me, but also this gentleman will as well. He'll be on site, so he'll give us the vibe, and he'll also talk about the press conference after the pick and all of that. Nick Faria of Athlon Sports and Pro Football Network. Nick, thanks so much for coming back on the show, brother.
Of course, happy to be back on. And of course, happy holidays. Happy pre-holidays to everybody.
It is a crazy time right now, all these rumors flying. But before we get to that, there was some news. The Lions extend Penei Sewell, their franchise tackle. And also, even though this is not a surprise, we all kind of knew it, Adam Schefter finally confirmed that T. Higgins has actually asked for a trade. So he'll be available. I don't think that's going to matter much for the Jets one way or the other. Obviously, the Dolphins are not going to make any investment in a wide receiver like that. I don't see the Bills being able to do it. If you look at their salary cap situation, Josh Allen is at about $1.5 million base salary this year. There's just not enough money to create. I think they could create up to $12, $15 million from what I was reading if they were to restructure a couple of deals, but that would be just enough to get the rookies under contract and under the salary cap. And I think that if they were to make any kind of major move, it would probably be to trade up for a receiver rather than to trade for T. Higgins and then have to squirm to figure out a way to pay him $20-something million. So I'm curious to see where T. Higgins lands. I don't think it's going to be the Jets either. I just don't think they have the cap space for a move like that at this point. But he's available. Penei Sewell locked down. It's going to be interesting heading into the draft to keep an eye on how this affects everything else. Does that mean that the Bengals could trade Higgins on draft night? Is it something that a team considers after the draft if they don't get a receiver that they're looking for? A lot to think about heading into the draft.
Yeah, 100%. The Higgins update really is going to change a lot of people's draft boards. My mock right now is on Football with Barry. I did a YouTube show this afternoon going through the entire picks. I actually have the Buffalo Bills trading up for Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Great overall prospect. I think he'd be a nice fit with the Buffalo Bills. But when it comes to T. Higgins, you know, the player that he is, the talented player that he is, when someone trades for him, they are trading for his potential, the potential to be a number one receiver. And I don't think the Bills or the Dolphins want to be able to put all that money in a player that they did not themselves develop. The one team that I think would highly be interested are the New England Patriots, and they have the third overall pick coming up in this draft. We've seen receivers in the trade market this year go for only second-round picks. You look at the Stephon Diggs trade. Obviously, Higgins is a little younger, but I think that's a solid barometer. If the Patriots are willing to move their second-round pick, which is going to be one of the higher ones in this draft for Higgins, that could entice the Bengals to potentially ship him off because they don't seem willing to give him the kind of money he's looking for, at least in this current negotiation where everything stands. It's going to be very interesting to see where that happens. On the Penei Sewell front, you look at the kind of contract that he got, and really what it tells you is that Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, these deals are absolutely incredible with what the Jets were able to get done. This is just a reaffirmation of what they've been able to do this offseason and improving their roster with significant signings that haven't really cost a lot in terms of overall cap space. Right now, Tyron Smith's guarantees are only $6.5 million. It's truly a great contract, and it looks even better because when he is healthy, he's the best left tackle in football, regardless of what Sewell does.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out later today, Nick, because there's so many different potential scenarios. At the top of the draft, it's all but assured that Caleb Williams goes number one. There's all kinds of whispers in Washington. There are some people that say that there are quite a few people in that building that even like J.J. McCarthy at number two. I'm not buying it. I think push comes to shove, Jaden Daniels goes there. There's buzz that the Patriots could consider moving out of number three. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they stay at three and take Drake May, though. Likewise, with Washington, there are whispers about J.J. McCarthy. And then it gets really fascinating when you talk about the Cardinals. Are they going to stay at four and take Marvin Harrison Jr.? I've heard so many conflicting things there. I've heard that they actually prefer Neighbors. I've also heard that they would like to trade out of that spot if they could get a King's ransom. Can Minnesota get up there? Can they get a deal done to do it? Hard to say. But if Arizona stays at four, you've got to assume they're taking either Neighbors or Harrison. And then at number five, the Chargers are another wild card. What do they do? There have been reports that the Chargers might want a receiver there because remember, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, their two top receivers, gone this offseason. Williams released, winds up on the Jets. Keenan Allen traded to the Chicago Bears. But then there's talk that Jim Harbaugh really would like a tackle in that spot. And there's talk that, and it makes sense when you think about it, they might prefer J.C. Latham over Joe Alt. Because remember, J.C. Latham, a right tackle, there are teams that docked him some points because they're not sure he could be a left tackle, but it doesn't matter for the Chargers because they already have Rashawn Slater at left tackle. So that's a possibility if they stay there. They could also go with Brock Bowers. We've heard whispers about that. Somebody could trade up and take that spot. Nick, you talked to me before we started recording about Minnesota possibly jumping up there to number five. That could happen. The Giants at number six. I think it makes a lot of sense for them to trade down considering where they're at right now. And I think if they get the right deal, they would certainly consider it. There's a lot of noise about them maybe going quarterback. Would they go with J.J. McCarthy if he's still there at number six? Is that something they would do? Are they going to roll with Daniel Jones and go with a receiver? My suspicion is that the Giants are either going to move out of that spot or stay there and pick one of the receivers, assuming either Neighbors or Harrison is still there at number six. Tennessee seems to be the one team that is most resistant to moving out of their spot in the top 10. At number seven, it appears that they will probably go with whoever they think the best tackle on the board is at that point. Could be Joe Alt, could be J.C. Latham. Maybe it's somebody else. There's always a wild card. We don't know what these teams' boards look like. So that's in play. Then at number eight, you've got the Falcons, who everybody assumes will go defense. But then it becomes an interesting spot because, Nick, if let's say the Jets and the Bears both would like a playmaker, well, let's assume Neighbors and Harrison are both off the board. Do one of those two teams jump up to grab Roma Dunze? The Bears could sit at number nine, but maybe they get nervous and antsy that someone's going to jump them and they move up. Maybe the Jets are afraid the Bears are going to take a Dunze, so they jump the Bears. Or do the Jets and Bears sit back and just see how it plays out? And Atlanta maybe either trades back with a team that's looking to jump up for somebody else, or they grab the best defensive player that they can get. Tough to say. At number nine with the Bears, all the buzz is that it's either going to be a pass rusher or a playmaker. We don't know what the Bears are going to be thinking. We've heard they really like Marvin Harrison Jr., but I don't know that they're going to be able to get up high enough to get him. Would they want to draft somebody like Roma Dunze, or would they want to go with a pass rusher like Lea Tulatu or Jared Verse? Would they want to move down? That's a possibility. A lot going on there, and then that leads to the Jets. And look, nobody knows for sure what the Jets are going to do. I think it makes the most sense to take a playmaker. We'll see what happens with Neighbors or Harrison. We've seen, Nick, people suggest that the Jets could get ultra aggressive and try to go up and get Harrison or Neighbors. I wouldn't be against that. And I've talked about this on Twitter, but ultimately where I come down on it is, I think Harrison and Neighbors are probably the two best players in this draft. When you eliminate positional value and you just go with the best players on a board, I think those two are probably the two best players in this draft. And so if you're the Jets and you look at it and you say, well, you got Garrett Wilson, you got Breece Hall. If you add Neighbors or Harrison to that and a healthy Aaron Rodgers with the defense they've got and the offseason signings they made on the offensive line, now you would hopefully go out and get insurance after this, a veteran. That's a team that right off the bat would, on paper at least, seem to be one of the favorites in the AFC, and it would be setting up the next guy after Aaron Rodgers to have several elite offensive weapons, which is what you want with a young quarterback, or to attract in a high-level veteran via free agency or trade. Of course, the question is, would the Jets be able to get a deal done for somebody if they were to move up, let's say, Harrison or Neighbors? What would it cost? My theory is, even if they had to give up next year's first to get Harrison, it would be worth it, because the offense would then be so good, along with a really strong defense, that even if, and we hope this doesn't happen, Rodgers goes down again, Tyrod Taylor is good enough that the team wouldn't be bad enough for you to really regret giving up that first round pick next year. And so you would have Harrison or Neighbors and Wilson and Breece Hall going forward for several years to come and a really great nucleus. So I could see that being the case. There's also rumors about the Jets trading down. We've heard that they might move down a couple of spots and recoup that second round pick that they lost in the Aaron Rodgers deal. They could also stay at number 10 and grab either the best playmaker or the best offensive lineman available. We don't know for sure whether they want to go with a playmaker or an offensive lineman, but I'd say it's probably about a 99% chance that they're going to go with somebody in one of those two groups. I would be stunned if it wound up being somebody on the defensive side of the ball. But I suppose, Nick, we can't rule anything out after last year when the Jets shocked all of us with the Will McDonald pick.
Yeah, look, I think it's a foregone conclusion that they are not taking a defensive player with a 10th overall pick. But you kind of laid it all out here. And there's a couple of different keys that I think we all should be focusing on. On my current mock draft, I have the Vikings trading up with the Los Angeles Chargers to take McCarthy, and the Chargers pick up two first-round picks, obviously, that Minnesota has. And the reason why the Chargers could be interested in trading down is because when you look at the overall board, Kalise Fuaga, Olufoshanu, J.C. Latham, a lot of these guys are probably going to be available when they make their pick with the 11th overall selection. And I'll just break this down for everybody here. So we know that three quarterbacks are going in the top three. We know that if the Cardinals are staying, the most likely pick is going to be Marvin Harrison, Malik Neighbors, whoever it is, but they'll take the receiver. At five, the Vikings were to trade up for McCarthy. The Giants would take either Harrison or Neighbors, whoever the Cardinals don't take. At seven, you have to think that the Titans are going Joe Ault, simply because, you know, you mentioned Neighbors and Harrison being the best players on this draft non-quarterback. I think that Ault is certainly in that equation as well. He is as solid a tackle prospect as I have ever seen. Absolutely incredible overall player. But you have Ault at seven. The general consensus is of the Falcons are going to take a pass rusher simply because their pass rush was pretty bad last year. And then you have the Bears. They'll probably go receiver. They could also go defensive player. But it would essentially give the Jets the opportunity to take either the best offensive player available or the best offensive lineman available. And in that retrospect, in that conversation, theoretically, the Chargers would be able to get the offensive lineman of their choice at 11. But when we talk about the Jets, when we talk about the conversations that happen Really, it comes down to this. Do you trust the offensive line, the way it's constructed right now, to play as many games together as possible? If that answer is yes, then the choice for their selection at 10, whether it be a trade-up or sticking at 10, will be between Brock Bowers and Romeo Dunze, whichever one is available for them. If you don't trust them, then the conversation becomes a little bit more complex. You try to look for a trade down. There are multiple teams right now looking to trade up in this current draft. Philadelphia, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, all those kind of teams that are in consideration for that. But if those teams are willing to give up a second round pick, it would make a lot of sense for the Jets to trade back, pick up a second rounder, and get some really strong value in what I still say is one of the best overall draft classes that I have seen in quite some time. This is a really deep class at a lot of key positions of value. So if they were to trade back, it would make a lot of sense. If they were to stay at 10 and get a weapon, yeah, it would make a lot of sense. Ultimately, to me, and I said this morning, there is not a single position on the offense or a single positional player overall outside of the defense that the Jets could take, and I would say it's a bad pick, whether it's Brock Bowers, Odunze, trading up for Neighbors or Harrison, trading back for Fatanu, trading back for Fuaga, all these different guys. If any of those decisions are made, I think it's a solid plan in place for the Jets in the long term and in the immediate current spot where they are.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Nick, oftentimes you hear that a guy is higher than he actually is or lower than he actually is. Then you hear these pre-draft rumors about teams souring on guys. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's smoke screens. For example, a guy like Adonai Mitchell, there have now been multiple reports that a lot of teams have slid him down on their board because there's questions about him off the field, including the fact that he apparently becomes unmanageable when he doesn't take care of his condition, which is type 1 diabetes. He becomes irritable. He becomes somebody that's tough to deal with. He's not properly managing his condition. At least that's the report. And so a lot of teams feel like that could lead to issues. If you recall, that was an issue for Jay Cutler, and it's why a lot of people didn't get along with him when he was playing. They said his blood sugar would be off a lot. He wouldn't properly manage his condition. And so that played into what his teammates and his coaches thought of him. And I think when you're talking about a first-round pick, a lot of teams are going to look at that and say, that's a headache that we don't really need. We're seeing all kinds of reports about how there are a lot of teams that have Malik Nabers ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that's probably true. The question, of course, is which teams? And is one of them the Cardinals? We're seeing that there are teams that have J.C. Latham ahead of Joe Alt. I don't think that's crazy at all. The question, of course, though, is which teams are the ones that have Latham ahead of Alt? Is one of them the Titans? Is one of them the Chargers? Then there are all kinds of reports about the defensive players and possible trade-ups and trade-backs. Then there's guys that could slide for a variety of different reasons. We've heard that Leiatu Latu could go anywhere from the top 10 to way back because of medical concerns. So, Nick, there's all kinds of crazy stuff floating out there right now. Talk to me a little bit about some of the rumors you've heard, both player and team-oriented, as we get ready for the draft coming up later today.
Well, I think my favorite one, maybe because I'm biased, but my favorite rumor has to come out of Philadelphia, because everyone and their mother right now is saying that Philadelphia is looking to trade up. The problem is everyone is saying Philadelphia is looking to trade up for many different things. You have Tony Pauline of Sportskeeda yesterday saying the team was all in on trading up for Toledo cornerback Quinyon Mitchell. We've heard other reports today from Jeremy Fowler saying that the Eagles are trading up for a receiver, specifically LSU wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. So that's a rumor that we've heard a lot over the last couple of days. Keep an eye out for Philadelphia, because I think they have always been aggressive. They have traded up in the first round of the NFL draft in three of the last four seasons, so it's a safe bet to assume they will do it again. But the other piece to it, of course, really comes back to the Jets, because with New York at 10, they don't have a second round pick. They could absolutely trade up. They could absolutely trade down. New York is kind of sitting here quietly waiting to see what happens within the top five picks, simply because if there are four quarterbacks taken in the top five, which a lot of people expect, that is going to make things a lot easier for the Jets in their decision-making process, because the expectation would then be Romeo Odunze, Malik Nabers, and Marvin Harrison are all going to be gone by the time they make their selection at 10. Again, they could potentially trade up and make this all moot. But ultimately, I think the safe bet right now is that the Jets really like Brock Bowers. They are very comfortable with him. And I think as long as a top player does not fall, you mentioned J.C. Latham. Some teams have him ahead of Joe Walt. If Joe Walt were to get into striking distance and be available to the Jets at 10, I'm not saying it's going to happen. But let's just say, you know, for manner of speaking, he falls to the Jets at 10. I don't care if Brock Bowers is available. Joe Walt's the best offensive tackle in this entire class. This would be a steal of steals for the organization if that were to even become close to happening. So ultimately, a lot of different things can happen. There are a lot of different rumors going out right now. I've heard rumors that Minnesota is softening on J.J. McCarthy. I've heard rumors that they are doing everything they can to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. So this is the time of year where everyone is trying to get a rumor out. Every organization is trying to get a rumor out in different factors, simply because it can spook other teams from trying to make a deal or trying to make a pick. The perfect example, of course, is Philadelphia, because we've seen Howie Roseman trade up all the time recently. And if another team is also looking for a cornerback, they might be forced to overpay to trade up just to make sure that Roseman and Philadelphia don't get their guys. So keep an eye on the Jets, keep an eye on Philadelphia, but also keep an eye clearly on Minnesota, because if they trade up, that's going to fall right into the Jets' plans. If they don't, things could get a little dicey for New York.
Like you said, a lot of smoke screens and a lot of information being out there about a variety of different players. What ultimately happens with J.J. McCarthy? Has this been legit that he's actually somebody that teams might pick in the top five, or is it all a smoke screen? Michael Penix Jr., you're hearing that maybe the Raiders like him, maybe the Giants like him. Would the Raiders pick him at 13? Would they trade back and risk losing him? If the Giants like him, would they try to move up from the second round back into the first? Would they move back from six and try to take him? So many questions that we will finally have the answers to at the end of tonight. And then, of course, we will go into day number two with a whole series of different questions. But Nick Ferrio will be with us on the show right after the draft is over. He'll be on site at their draft war room. Looking forward to talking to him. Nick, as always, great having you on to chop this up before the draft, and looking forward to talking to you right after the draft. You've got stuff going on with Athlon Sports. You've got stuff going on right now with Pro Football Network. You've got some other things going on that I don't think you're ready to announce yet, but we'll get to that later. Talk about what's happening and how people can keep up with you on social media.
Yeah, I'm going to have everything from draft night tomorrow on my Twitter. I'm going to have a couple videos out as well on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, Football with Faria. But always on Twitter, Nick_Faria1720. Everything I post out there will be easily seen. There's no paywall, so you guys can watch and view to your heart's content. A lot of great stuff happening.
Make sure you check out Nick on Twitter. Read his bylines over at Athlon Sports and at Pro Football Network. Listen to Football with Faria or watch it. Either way, you can just listen to the audio or you can watch the video too on Twitter daily. So check that out. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Get ready for tonight's draft with a lot of video breakdowns courtesy of the Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant. We've got one for Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, Brock Bowers, Troy Fatanu, Tala East Fawaga. It's all up there right now. Malik Nabers too. YouTube.com/PlayLikeAJet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quentin Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.